Now, man, we're going to be talking about fasting today, dude. And how many of you guys just love fasting? Yeah, exactly. No one's going to raise their hand on that. Fasting is tough. It is a lot of work. And we're going to talk about that today. The reason why we're talking about fasting isn't because we're going into corporate fasting. That's 2 weeks ahead. We'll do that the last Friday of every month. But not because of that. We're talking about fasting because I want my heart to be all the way His. How many of you guys want a heart change in this house? Anyone in here? And when I say a heart change, what I mean is not that you have better feelings inside of you. When I say a heart change, what I mean is the center of your life is directed on the Father. How many of you guys want the fullness of God in your life? Anyone in here? He wants that for you too. And so we're going to talk about fasting. Now, last week we talked about prayer. How many of you guys could agree? Well, just look to your neighbor and tell them, I know you could pray more. Just tell them that right now. Just say, I know you could pray more. Tell them. Come on, say it with some conviction in your heart. Oh, I guess I should tell you this. I'm going to make you talk to each other, so just apologize now. Just go ahead and apologize. Now, man, we talked about prayer, and I had a friend of mine, a good friend of mine. He's been unknowingly mentoring me. How many of you guys know you need more mentors in your life? How many of you guys know that? Yeah, and I'm going to encourage you, find someone who's older. Don't find a young guy. Find an old guy. Find old people. If they're on the walker, that's the person you want talking to you, all right? That's the one. And I want you to find some, the person's not on a walker. He's healthy. But no, he was telling me, and he said something. He said, Pastor Tommy, you know, you should probably give some tips. You know, you kind of beat everybody up and you just left them hanging. And he was right. I didn't give you guys any tips about prayer. So I want to step over to last week's scripture really quick. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. If you're not taking notes, learn to take notes right now. Go ahead and I want you to write this down. I want to give you some tips on prayer. And we're going to do this for fasting here in a minute too. But I got five real quick tips to get your prayer life to a new level. Now, what I'm talking about right now on these five tips, I've personally used multiple times because I needed to get my prayer life up. So number one is if you want a better prayer life, schedule it, set a time. And this is what I mean by set a time. Don't try to make time for it, replace something. Maybe it's breakfast. We're talking about fasting today. You meet two birds with one stone, you know. Maybe it's before you get on Instagram, you say, I got to get into prayer. Number one, set a time. Number two, use a timer. That's a funny one, but I actually love this trick. If you want to be better at prayer, I use a five-minute timer. People suggest a one-minute timer. Set a five-minute timer, put it to the side, and say, I got to pray till that timer goes off. Do that for 3 days. Pretty soon, 5 minutes ain't long enough. Do it for a week. Pretty soon, you're setting a 10-minute timer. Set a timer if you want to have a prayer life. Number three, make a list of things you are thankful for. I'm going to start right there. Your prayer should start with Thanksgiving. I don't know if you know this, but when you have anxiety and worry, you're sitting there and you're all messed up going, man, what am I going to do? Scripture says stop and start being thankful. And then bring your supplications to Him. So make a list of things you're thankful for. When you're praying for that five-minute timer or you're praying replacing breakfast, start with Thanksgiving. Number four, make a list of things you want to see changed. That's number four. If you want a better prayer life, start with another list, first of Thanksgiving, and then things you want to see changed. And my last tip I didn't give it to you guys last week, if you want a better prayer life, set a time to be quiet. If you're doing a five-minute timer, set 4 minutes and then do 1 minute of saying, God, I want to listen to you. Remember, we talked about prayer. It's not just about talking to the Father. It is also about listening. Amen? So those five tips, I would encourage you guys, start this week. Start today. Say, what can I replace? Set a five-minute timer. Make a list of things you're thankful for. Make a list of things you want to see changed. And use that 5 minutes to pray and then take a minute to be quiet and listen in. All right? All right, that was last week's sermon, though. All right, let's move forward. Fasting. How many of you guys ever tried to fast before? How many of you guys failed? It's okay. Maybe not every time, but yeah, oh my gosh. How many of you guys, so you start fasting and you just start hating people more? You guys ever do that before? I'll fast let me clarify what fasting is, because if you're new to Christ, this is like a crazy practice, a weird concept. But fasting is abstaining from food for a period of time. Now, I want to make this clear. Biblical fasting is fasting food. How many of you guys have heard people say, I'm fasting social media? You guys ever hear that before? That's not a fast. That's just called self-control. That's all that is, all right? Or maybe you heard someone say, I'm fasting. I mean, I knew people who are wild. They say, I'm fasting talking for a week. And I think that was actually because they were in a fight with their spouse and they just want to have a reason, like the quiet treatment. I've seen a lot of different fasting, but a biblical fast, the practice is to give up food for a period of time. Now, how many guys in here love to eat? Anyone in here love to eat? Dude, I love a juicy cheeseburger. Anyone in here, man, a cheeseburger? Pizza? You guys ever been to Glide Pizza before? Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, pizza, I love food. I will do this. This is a real habit. When I'm bored, I open up my refrigerator. You guys do that? I won't be hungry. I just want to look what's in there. Just kind of like celebrate. I have this here. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times it's just condiments, but still I'm thinking, look at that. And I love food, man, and I know you do too. I mean, food is central, like, to our culture. I mean, seriously, we identify by the food we eat. I mean, some people are like, oh, I'm vegan. Other people are like, fried chicken, never grilled. You know, it's like we all identify, like, this is a real thing. It is, like, central to our lives, and there's good reason for that. You need it to live. I'm not going to preach to you that you should never eat. That's crazy talk. Jesus says that we need to learn not to live off bread alone, but he doesn't say don't live off bread. So you need food. Look to your neighbor and say, you need to eat. Tell them that. Some of y'all didn't need to say it to the person next to you, but I'm glad you did. You need to eat. You need to take care of your body. Eating's not the problem. But today when we talk about fasting, we're talking about giving up food. And biblical fast is extremely important. And because we're talking about changing your hearts, because just a heads up, this sermon is only, I'm only preaching this sermon because I have the end of this series of the changed heart. I'm going to talk about the power of your words. Now, I'm going to talk about the authority of Christ through you as you speak. But the reason why I'm starting with this is because before I could talk to you about the power of your words, I got to talk to you about how to get your heart into the place that out of the heart, you speak wonderful things. And the number one way to do that is prayer. Number two is to abstain from food for a period of time. Now, I'm going to be real with you. None of us want to do this. None of us. I mean, no one thinks it's fun to say, you know what? I mean, how many of you guys have ever been on a diet before? Anyone been on a diet before? I've been on a diet. You know what I look at when I look at a diet? What can I eat? I never want to look at what I can't eat. I always want to know what can I eat. I want to have food that I enjoy. And to come into a fast is like a really bizarre thing. You're telling me that God wants me to starve for 24, 48, 72 hours so my heart could change? Why? And then he tells us, he gives us instruction. If you have Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, if you have your Bibles, I want you to write that down in your notes or open up with me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. Then he goes on and he says something kind of wild. He says, I want you to not eat food. And then when you don't eat food for that period of time, he says, this is the attitude I want you to have. He says, moreover, when you fast, when you give up food for a period of time, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their face that they may appear to men to be fasting. And surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and to the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You see the attitude he tells us to have? He says, don't even tell people you're doing it. Just do it before me. I'm going to be honest with you. When I'm fasting, I like telling people. I do. I want you to know that I'm starving myself because I'm holy, you know? And you're like, hey, you want to go out to eat? Like, sorry, I'm on a fast today, you know? And he says, no, don't even let people know you're doing it. He says, make it sacred. Like he says, man, not only is fasting, and we're going to talk about fasting to change your heart in a minute, but not only is this fasting a practice, he says it's a sacred practice, something that's not supposed to be shared, but something that's supposed to be between you and the Father, that you're not even supposed to tell people. And I'll be honest with you, when you read that, you start realizing that means you can't even act hangry. And you guys know how hangry you get. You miss dinner and you're yelling at the kids, like, go to bed or I'll kill you. You know, it's like you lose your mind. And he's like sitting here going, no. Practice. Wash your face so it doesn't look like you're starving. Anoint your head so you look healthy. Don't even let people know what you're doing. Let this be between you and I. So he says, man, this is the attitude. This is what you do. So today, while we're talking about fasting, abstaining from food for a period of time and doing it with an attitude of sacredness, this is before God and nobody else, let me read to you what fasting could do. Now, there's two things it does, but I'm only going to talk about one of them. One, it can move God, but that's not what we're talking about. How many of you guys have ever had a fast because you wanted to see something change? Anyone ever done that before? Me too. I've fasted because I wanted circumstances to change. I've fasted because I wanted to hear from God. I think that's great. I think you should do that. Daniel, the book of Daniel, gives us a great example of Daniel praying and fasting for 13 days to see something change in the atmosphere. I love that. But I want to talk about fasting not to have circumstances change. I want to talk about fasting so that you change, so that your heart is formed, so that you are softened inside. And there's this great scripture, Ezra. He's over here and he's doing all these great things. And this is what he says in chapter 8, verse 21. He says, I proclaimed a fast there the river of Ahavea that we might humble ourselves before our God. Do you see what that says? He says, I declared a fast with all the people. They're building a wall. It's a great story. Go read Ezra sometime. But I love what he said. He said, man, I saw us as a people. And he said, I declared a fast so that we might humble ourselves, that we might lower ourselves. He says, man, I want to fast so I become better in my character. I want to call a fast so that we would be people who are lowly before God and not people who are puffed up before God. When is the last time you fasted because you thought you had too much pride in your life? When's the last time you fasted because you saw your pride building up? Your ego was getting real big. When's the last time you said, I'm going to fast so that I might be humbled? Let me tell you something. Fasting changes your heart posture. Denying food for a period of time and doing it sacredly before the Father, not before men, but doing it hidden before God. It says, man, this is a way to get humility. You know why it brings humility in your life? It brings humility because when you fast, you're not fasting food, you're fasting your appetites. Look at your neighbor and say, you eat when you're not hungry. Go ahead and tell them that right now. It's true. And I'm not just talking about like you overeat. I want to talk about gluttony real quick. Now, how many of you guys have ever met a glutton? Yeah. Mine's in the mirror. I've seen them. A glutton. Now, when I was a kid, I used to think gluttony, the sin of gluttony, you know, was like people who ate too much. And I'll be honest with you. I eat too much. But that's not what gluttony is. That's a sign of gluttony, but that's not what gluttony is. Gluttony is actually the desire of appetite rules you. That's what gluttony is. The desire of your appetite rules you. Now, we've talked about a lot of different sins, and we've gone into detail about like sexual morality or pride, and we've gone into detail, but no one really talks about gluttony. And I know why. Because when you start talking about gluttony, it kind of interferes with the culture that we love, which is to eat for pleasure, not eat for substance. Sustenance? Subsidence? You know what I was talking about. I can't. English is a hard language. No, we most of us, all of us, we're in America, y'all. We're not eating for the sake of fuel to the body. No, we eat for pleasure, man. And I don't know if there's necessarily something completely wrong for having pleasurable meals or eating a lot, but gluttony is my stomach rules me. My appetite has authority over me. If I don't feed my appetite, I have the right for an attitude. That is gluttony. If I don't fill my stomach with the desire of my flesh, then I'm okay to have a pity party. Then I'm okay to allow my attitude to be all over. It rules me. Gluttony is not eating too much. Gluttony is being ruled by the desires of your appetites. That's a big deal. That's a massive deal. So when Ezra says, I'm calling a fast so that we might be humbled, what he's saying is, I'm calling a fast to recognize that my appetite and my desire for food, not just my hunger, but my desire, I'm going to lay that down today. I'm going to let the Lord work in me instead. I'm not going to be led by my desires. And we know scriptures, man. We know what James chapter 1 says. James chapter 1, 14 through 15. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. Everyone say desires. And enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. You'll see this in every single sin that you deal with. There's a desire problem going on in your life. Every sin. Lying, you desire approval. You desire, lying is the number one approval metric. You want to know how bad you want approval? See how often you make little lies. Yeah, honey, I'm in the car. Running out to the car, you know? Yeah. Oh my gosh, I would love to be there. And then you don't show up, so you have to give them an excuse. You can't own it for real. You have a pride issue. You want you fear men's rejection so much that you would lie. You know what another one is? Sexual immorality. It's a desire issue. It's a desire issue. What happens? You're desiring it and it draws you in and produces in you sin. Greed and envy. Every sin, you're going to find the same thing. A desire issue. Your flesh wants something. You will crave it. You will hate others. You will steal even in it. He says, man, with gluttony, it's the same thing. Your desire rules you. I'm hungry. What do you want to eat? I don't know. Every man's been in this conversation. Let's go to Gusto's. No, I don't feel like that. Okay, let's go to Chick-fil-A. No, I had that yesterday. What are we discussing? Not how to get food into our bodies, but what do I desire? That's what that is. You'll find yourself, open up your refrigerator, your pantry, or whatever, your cooler. I don't know what you got. You'll be looking aside going, nah, none of this looks good to me. I want desire. Listen, I got to say this. Gluttony has been a problem in your life. I want to say that again. Listen, look around. You guys aren't all these like big people who overeat, but gluttony still has a hold of you. That desire is ruling you. It directs you. When you eat something that you don't really care for, you're happy to throw it away. You don't have a hunger problem. Fasting's not because you're hungry. That's not why fasting's difficult. Fasting's difficult because you're fighting your flesh for the first time. Fasting's difficult because it's the real rubber meets the road. I'm going to beat my flesh into submission. You know why fasting is not popular anymore? Because fasting says something that the rest of the culture won't say. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Make a practice of denying yourself. Because your desires of the flesh have enticed you. Actually, can I go? What time is it? Okay, I got time. You know, just a step off course for a second. You know what I always find with people dealing with a lot of sin in their life? Especially like habitual sin. And listen, I want to say this because I think it's important. Look around this room. Just look around. You don't have to point at anybody. Don't make them feel awkward. Look around this room. You're looking at people who deal with sin sometimes. Some more often than others. Some of them are really grotesque sins. I mean that. Like their thought life is so grotesque that if you heard about it or you saw it, you'd probably be like, ew, get away from me. There's people in this room, and listen, maybe you're better than the person next to you, but maybe you're fooled yourself. Maybe you're worse. Because how many guys know we're biased towards ourselves? How many guys believe that right now? Yeah, we are, right? Have you guys ever done something wrong and then like, well, it wasn't as bad as when he did it, you know? I was like, well, no, it's still bad. I know why so many of us have problems with sin. Actually, the pattern's always the same. Every person I find who's battling habitual sin has zero lifestyle fasting. Every single one of them. I'm not saying because fasting keeps you from sin, but they never practiced fighting their flesh before. So when the battle rises up inside of them, they fall every single time. And the Lord has given us this incredible trick. He says, your appetite, starve it and watch your flesh squirm inside of you and recognize that's the battle that you're fighting with your lust. That's the battle that you're fighting with your lies. It's your flesh, your desires. Learn, deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me, he says. Fasting is the quickest way to see how strong your flesh really is in your life. Fasting is the quickest way to see how strong the flesh really is in your life. Some of us don't even want to get into fasting. I know you because I'm the same person. I don't want to get into fasting. How many of you guys have ever thought, I should fast, I'll do it tomorrow? You guys ever done that before? Or next week? Or I'll do it when it's a little bit easier. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, you know why? Because you know the battle's going to be tough. But Jesus did not say, I'm going to come and I'm going to transform you and all your problems are taken away. He says, I'm going to show you the way and follow me. Pick up your cross. Discipline yourself. Get into the place where you're fasting and you're defeating your own flesh on your own time. Get to the place where you run from temptation. Get to the place that you deny yourself. You know why I said that? Because so many of us are going, God, change me, change me, change me. He's going, I've given you the way. Now follow me, follow me, follow me. Pick up your cross. You know why he says pick up your cross? He says, because this is your work to follow me. Crucify yourself. He doesn't say, let me crucify you. He says, crucify yourself. This is why fasting is something you should be picking up on. This should be a normal practice in the Christian life. I got to submit myself to you, Jesus. I got to fight my desires. And some of us, and listen, in this room, some of us have been fighting desires for a long time, and you can't seem to get the upper hand on your flesh. When the desire calls your name, when you feel that temptation, you're alone in the house. Someone calls you and asks you a question and you want to be impressive. Someone, you know, whatever that sin is, some of us, we fall immediately to the flesh. The desire gets us. I want to tell you, fasting is the key to starting to have victory over your flesh. Fasting is the key. It's the place where you humble yourself. That's the thing that it does. It humbles you. You know why I say humble this? You know why I want to put that one out there? Check this out. Have you guys ever thought, I should stand up on this table and preach the gospel? You guys ever thought that before? And you know it wasn't your thought, right? You know, like, I would never think that. Or maybe you're in church and you see Pastor Clarence. You know, he was on the bass today. But you see him shaking his dreads. You guys ever see this dude going crazy up front? He's dancing. You guys know what I'm talking about? Are you guys just eyes closed all Sunday morning? What are you guys doing, man? I'm watching kids up here going nuts. Pastor Paul on the floor. Sorry to show you off, man. On the floor, right? Face on the concrete. My mom is on the floor sometimes. I'm looking at these people going, man, these guys are really expressive. Or you see the person, you know, he touched my love, he turned me around. They start spinning. You guys know what I'm talking about? And you look at them like, don't be a loser. You know, stop that, you know? But you're like watching them. And you're wondering, how is it that they do that? I would be so embarrassed. I would be so embarrassed. You've had the thought, the music's going, and you could feel inside of you, you want to start jumping, and you get this far. You know, the knee bent. You know what I'm talking about? You want to get your hands up. You're here. You guys know what I'm talking about. You know what's holding you back? I hate to oversimplify this, but it is this simple. It's pride. Every time. Isn't that crazy? It talks about, man, make a joyful noise to the Lord. And we'll go, I love you, Jesus. You know? That's what we do. And you know why? Because you start having thoughts. Well, I don't want to disturb the person next to me. I know you don't. I've watched you in your worship. You disturb everybody. No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't want to disturb anybody. In fact, we have this thought. We go, well, that's disruptive. I don't want to be disruptive. Man, I talk about this almost every Sunday when I talk to the team about once praise the Lord before we go into service. I'm not trying to be judgy towards anyone. You know, I don't want everyone to feel like Tommy is really watching us. But I always just think, man, how do you praise God? You know, like, how do you praise God? And I had this thought a while back that some of us get so concerned about how we pray. I mean, have you ever prayed out loud and you were like self-conscious about it for 2 days later? You know what I'm talking about? Like, yeah, you're like, man, you know, you get so consumed. I want you to know what this is. It's pride. The reason why you can't make a joyful noise is because there's pride. Your flesh has enticed you. Don't do it. They might be disturbed. Guys, there was a time where I couldn't sing out loud because I don't know if you know this, I can't sing worth a lick. And every time I tried to sing, you know, people are so kind to me, Evelyn and Muna, but like, oh, you stayed on a key. You know, that's as much as I get. I can't sing worth a lick. And there was a time that I didn't want to sing out loud because I was afraid during worship that I was going to disrupt people around me. You know what I made my worship about? You know how I reflected? I didn't make my worship in response to who he was. I made my worship in response to what everyone else thought I should do. And all of a sudden, my praise was a reflection of my image, not his image. You know what that is? That's pride. And I look at the scripture, I go, man, fast that you might be humbled. I want to tell you a little secret. People who practice sacred fasting, that's fasting before the Father. No one else sees them. It's just them, and they make sure that no one knows they're fasting. Sacred fasting, those people are the people who have no problem praying out loud. They have no problem dancing and worshiping. You know why? Because they have humility in their life. Like, time out for a second, because I wasn't going to preach on this, but I need to say it. Humility is not meekness. I'm saying that because it's important to understand that humility is not meekness. Those are two different concepts. And Jesus's humility, he did not go around and tell people that they were okay. In his humility, he called them out of their sin. You know why I'm saying that? Because some of us think it's humility. It's not humility. It's a false humility. But they'll go, well, I don't want to speak up about Christ because that might disturb people. And that's not real humble. I'll look prideful. There was no one more humble than Christ himself. And he was saying things way meaner than you've heard before. He was calling out leaders. You vipers, you know. I mean, Jesus flipped tables for crying out loud. When was the last time you flipped a table? And he's like, no, this is humility, walking in truth, not being dictated by society, but having his eyes on the Father. Fast so that you might be humble. Fast that you might have victory over your flesh. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 through 13. Lord speaking to his children. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. You know, I love this scripture. Joel's talking. He says, man, you know, listen. You guys probably read in the scriptures where they would tear their clothes. You know, this was a symbol that they would do. They would like fall down and tear their clothes. Actually, always makes me think they must have been ripped. Have you ever tried to tear your clothes before? Everyone back in the Bible days were just strong. But what they would do is they'd tear their garments and they'd take the dirt and they'd take ash and they'd throw it on their garments. And this was a sign of like humbling themselves. And this was a sign of like repentance. This was a sign like, no, this is serious. I'm really going for this thing. But he says in Joel, he says, no, I don't want you taking your garments and tearing them. I want your heart. So don't just turn to me with a song. Don't just turn to me with some good attitude. He says, turn to me with all your heart with fasting. Let me tell you a little secret. I don't know if there was ever a time in my young life that I fasted because I was trying to turn my heart towards him. I spent all my fasting on trying to get my wishes to come true in my prayer life. That's what I spend fasting on. I go, well, I want God to do something, you know, for me. Maybe whatever it was. You know, you guys know my prayers when I was a kid. A red convertible and $1 million cash on my bed in the morning. That's what I wanted, right? I used to pray that every morning to the Lord, every night. And I used to pray, God, give me a red convertible and $1 million cash when I wake up. Because I heard my dad say, whatever you pray for, I took something out of context. That's all I'm going to say. And what I would do is I'd keep that attitude. I'd fast and go, oh, I'm going through a hard time. Let me fast to change my circumstances. Oh, I want to get a building for the church. I really did this. I'm going to fast because I thought fasting was how I got God to change his mind about what was going on in my life. I didn't realize he was calling me to fast, not so I could change him. I was called to fast so I could change me. Deny yourself. Turn your heart towards him. It isn't about just putting on your favorite worship song. And let me pick on that for a second. Some of us can't worship unless we have the right worship music on. Shake that. Why don't you turn off your music and worship him? Why don't you try that for a little bit? Why don't you stop getting music to be the drive in your life? But he says, I want your heart. Come to me fast. This is an actual practice that's for turning your heart towards him. That's taking your life off of your desires and saying, okay, God, now your desires are the center in my life. This is why you should fast. This is how you beat the flesh. This is how you turn your heart to the Father. God, I want you. I'm going to give you some tips here in a second about how to fast because I know this little secret. I know this. I'm going to preach about fasting. I'm going to talk about how fasting is how you change your heart. That's what we've been talking about, how fasting brings you to the place of humility. It's the desires breaking off of you. It's the first time that you're going to really fight your flesh in a battle that you're calling up. Time out. Fasting is the only time that you call the battle against your flesh. All the other times you're fighting your flesh, the flesh is waging war on you. Isn't that a funny concept? You're in your room, pornography gets into your head, all of a sudden a battle started that you didn't call into battle. Oh, I gotta fight. And how many of you guys have noticed that the enemy seems to get you right when your feet are off balance? Oh, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. Of course that's when he wants to come attack you. You know what fasting is? It's bringing the battle to your flesh before it brings it to you. Let me just get in here and start fighting my flesh before I'm too late. And let me tell you another secret. There's very few people I know. I don't know if I've ever heard a testimony of this. It's not a testimony. I've never heard of a confession of this. But very few people I know, while they're fasting, they're dealing with their sin. They're not. It's crazy. Every time I meet someone who's fasting, it could be a day or 2 days, there's something about it that they're not dealing with their addictions anymore. All of a sudden, for those 2 days or 1 day or one meal or whatever it is, they're having victory. You know why? Because they decided to go into the enemy's camp and stop letting the enemy come into their camp. And they say, you know what? Let me actually go into the battle before it battles me. I want you to hear me when I say this. Fasting is key to changing your heart. It's key to getting into a place of humility. It's a key to turning towards the Father. It's a key to defeating your flesh. But like I said before, the difficulty is not with food. It's with your appetites. So I want you to look to your neighbor and say, we have an addiction problem. Go ahead and say it to him right now. Come on, say it. We have an addiction problem for real. And we have a hard time fasting because we've confused the desires of our flesh. I don't have time to get into this. With the desires of our heart. And so when we don't have our desires fulfilled in our flesh, we think things are amiss. We struggle a ton when we fast. We grow up and complain. Well, you know what happens? Our body literally gets tired because our sugar levels are so low. Because we keep them at 100%, you know, with all of our dieting. And I want to talk to you really quick without going too deep into this, but you need to go on a journey about what you eat. And this is like, listen, I used to kind of like make fun of the guys who would be like, the temple of God is your body, so you need to work out. Because those guys were always shredded. I always feel like they're trying to sell me a workout plan. But I've learned personally about changing my diet. Fasting is a million times easier. It's actually incredible. I used to just eat whatever I wanted. Literally, the last meal I had before I changed my diet, this is so disgusting. I don't know why I even did this. Doritos had a new flavor out. It wasn't even a good flavor. It was some blue bag. It was disgusting. I bought the family size. I sat next to my wife, who also had a bag of chips. We finished those chips on our own. Just eating them, man. I wasn't hungry. I was eating. I don't know if there's any nutrition in those things. But I'm just eating away. The next morning, I woke up, and I felt so disgusting. You know what was really weird, though? is I wanted them some more. I had a craving. Man, I just wish I had another snack. And I got to realize, oh my gosh, I have a diet problem. I feed my body whatever it wants. I look through the pantry, and I'm not going to get into what my diet is. It's probably stupid, but I'm doing it. But I got to realize, I'm a carb and sugar fiend. That's all I want. Carbs and sugar. Bread and sugar. In every form. High fructose corn syrup, great. Cane sugar, that makes me feel better, you know. Agave nectar, wow, that must be healthy. I just love it. And I realized something, that when I would fast, it wasn't just my mind wanted it too. My body is craving it. You know why you're having a lot of problems with fasting? It's because you're not taking care of your body before you go into a fast. You're so hooked on, and just so you know, this is intentional. I don't know if you know this, but your food is intentionally made addictive. It is someone's paycheck. They want you eating it. I'm going to turn into, and you knew this too. And I'm going to turn into RFK here in a second if I'm not careful. But legit, your food, watch what you're eating. You know why fasting's hard? It's because of your diet. This is my number one tip. You want to get better at fasting? Change how you eat normally. Stop just eating snacks. You know, just start easy. Just do 3 meals a day and do 0 snacks. Just watch how hard that is for you at first. Do 3 meals a day, no snacks. Make your meals less sugar and more, you know, what was the word? It doesn't matter, that word. I can't hear you when you all speak at the same time, and it's not like I could say it anyways. Number one, change your day-to-day eating. You want to start fasting and make it easier on yourself? Change your diet. Number two, you want to start fasting? Don't try to do 48 hours the first time. Do a meal. One of my favorite time in my prayer life, one of my favorite times was I had a buddy. I was living in a dormitory with like 4 dudes. And there was this guy, we called him Tree. His name was Dustin. We also called him Frosty because one time he had 36 Frosties in one sitting. He should have listened to this sermon. He was like super tall. And we would wake up every morning and we decided, you know, let's just fast all through breakfast. And what we'll do is we won't eat till lunch intentionally, not because we were busy, intentionally. And I didn't have a lot going on then. I was a youth pastor and our youth pastor is busy, but most youth pastors don't do anything except Wednesday nights, just so you know. And I had nothing to do. So I was like, yeah, once pray and fast and once talk about what we want from the Lord. I saw more happen in my life in those 3 months through prayer and fast than I ever did ever. Because I took one meal and I said, let me start here. You want to be better at fasting? Change your diet. Number two, just start with a meal. Don't try to eat it all at once. Number three, you want to be better at fasting? Oh, I'm sorry. Work a meal, and then work your way to 24 hours. I should say this. The third tip is don't make it an event. Make it your practice. You want to be better at fasting? Don't make it a prayer, I'm sorry, a fasting event. Make it a practice. Once a month in our church, the last Friday of every month, we take that Friday to fast. It's a practice. It's not an event. I put it out there kind of loosely because I just expect you, yeah, jump on it. Make a practice of fasting. Don't let it be a one-time-a-year thing. When someone asks you, when's the last time you fasted, have an answer for them. I make a practice of it. Yeah. Lastly, this is my last tip, and then I'm going to close this thing. I'm going to cap this thing all the way up. Lastly, if you want to be better at fasting, recognize it's before the Father and not before anybody else, and see His grace in the midst of it. Let me explain that a little bit better. How many guys have ever tried to do a fast and you failed? Right? And how long did you feel guilty for? Till the next meal, right? It was 2 meals in, then you decided got better about it. And I want to say something because one of the best tips I ever learned in fasting was learning not how to start a fast, but how to end a fast. Because I used to go into fasting and 2 things would happen. One, I'd feel guilty because I didn't go long enough. You guys ever felt that before? Like I did 1 meal, like, God, but you're worthy of 2 meals, you know? I can't do it. That's number one. Number two, I'd feel guilty because I didn't know exactly how to end it. And so I got this last tip for you, which is not just change your diet before you go into fasting, not just start with 1 meal, not just make a practice instead of an event, but this fourth one is ending your fast intentionally. is one of the best tips I've ever heard on fasting, which is at the end of your fast, if it's for one meal or if it's for 40 days like Christ himself, you don't just go and say, fast is over, let's party. You say, fast is over, Jesus, let me pray to you. Let me put an end to this thing. And this is what we do as a staff. This is what I do in my daily practice. When at the end of a fast, I say, Father, this is my prayer. Thank you for the strength that you've given me to endure through this fast. And then I say, Father, I pray that you see my heart in the midst of this. This was for you to change me. And then I say, lastly, Jesus, thank you for this beautiful meal that I'm about to have every time. That's the end of my prayer. And I end my fast. You know why I give that to you? Because not only is it hard to fast because of the diet you have, not only is it hard to fast because you go too far in, but it's hard to fast because you sometimes get filled with shame that you haven't done it in a long time. And you know what's one thing I've learned about shame? Shame is the same voice that brings you into temptation. It's Satan himself. And so many of us go into fasting, we have a hard time because we fail, quote unquote. Listen, if you fast a meal, you haven't failed in fasting. You might have failed what you wanted to do, but you haven't failed. You did something great. So the enemy comes in with shame and starts whispering in your ear. Oh, God's not worthy enough to you. Oh, you messed up. You're a slave to your belly. End it with prayer. Say, Father, I want to end my fast well. I don't want to just start it well. I want to end it well. These are my tips on how to fast. But my last part is this, and this is the most important tip. Don't wait any longer. Don't wait any longer. Stop waiting for the event to happen. Don't do that. Start fasting. We're going to talk about, not next week, because next week's going to be a special service, but after that, we're going to start talking about the power of your words. And we're going to talk about the authority of Christ through you. Have you guys ever read the scriptures and recognized when that Jesus was cast out demons? He didn't do the Pentecostal, you know, he didn't speak in tongues. He didn't, you know, like, get out of the devil right now. He didn't do any of that. He just said, come out of him. And there was authority in his words. Do you know what that was? It was a heart in the right posture before God. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but the power of your words is based on this posture of your heart. And I walk around with Christians all over, and what I've noticed is, man, everybody's words seem empty. Even in prayer, we pray these prayers, and what we're doing is we're just wishing, God, will you please do this? But when I read the scriptures, the disciples, not Jesus, the disciples would say, get up and walk. And out of the abundance of their heart, there was power in their words. And this is why. There's a whole sermon on this, because they got their hearts in the right place before they started talking. They said, oh, let me get to the place of great prayer, Acts chapter 1 and 2. Let me be in the place of great prayer until the Holy Spirit intervenes in my heart. Oh, let me get to the place of great fasting until I'm so humble that the Spirit of the Lord can speak to me, his words living inside of me. I'm telling you, don't wait on fasting because your heart is in danger. You're walking around with a Christianity that is not like the Bible. I mean, when you read the Christianity in the Bible, you go, what is this thing? That's not the kind of Christianity I see. That's like the Christianity I want to see. And the Lord's going, yeah. It's your heart is in the way. So come to me in prayer. Humble yourself before me. Fast. Kill the desires of your flesh. Get into the battle before the battle's at your door in the middle of the night. Show it who's victorious through me, the Son of God. Walk in the practice, not later, but make it something that you do often. Man, could you imagine what your life would look like before Christ? What your life would look like in the battle? What your pride, how crushed it would be if you took weekly to fast and prayer before God? And you didn't tell nobody about it. This was between you and him. And he said, God, today I'm gonna go into battle against my flesh. Father, today I'm gonna humble myself. Today, I'm going to break my flesh before you. I'm going to let weeping and mourning come out of me today, God, until my heart turns to you. Could you imagine what the church would look like if we said, no, fasting's not just some extracurricular. Fasting is necessary for my pride to be put to shame, for me to be humble. Fasting is necessary for me to have victory in my flesh. And you know what's crazy? That Matthew scripture I read, he says, man, do it in secret. He says, those who do it publicly, he says, they have their reward. You know that saying? That means that you get rewarded for publicly fasting. He says, yeah, there's a benefit to that. He says, but if you want the real benefit, do it in secret with me, and I will glorify you in public. You know what's crazy about that scripture? So many of us would trade off the glory of men for the glory of God. And when he says that, he says, listen, I don't think you understand. The reward for fasting is not, here's a stone, that's great, that's in heaven, but it's not right now. It's not, here's some more money. It's not, your wishes are granted. He says, if I see you fasted in secret, son, daughter, I will lift you up publicly. And what he's saying is, I will elevate you to show you off as my child. And I will lift you up. And it's not just to your Christian friends. He says, I will publicly, that means in front of everybody, I'll make it known, that one's mine. That's the reward I have. That's my son. Oh, go ahead and attack my daughter. See the shield I am for them. Oh, go ahead and come at my daughter and see what I am to them. I'm going to lift them up. Don't you see it? He's saying, man, not just is fasting gonna kill your flesh. He says, fasting's gonna invite me to elevate you publicly. You know what's crazy about that? That's his promise to you. Oh, come secretly and fast. Make the practice. I'm gonna exalt you. I'm gonna make it known who you are to me. I'm gonna establish my name in your life. I will reward you publicly, my children. Deny your belly. Deny your flesh. Fight your desires. Kill your appetite. And make fasting your thing before me. You want a changed heart? Go home. Take a day to fast. Learn this. The same thing Christ has spoken. The same thing that was written in the Old Testament. What was the reason why they went through the desert for 40 years. Your body isn't meant to live off bread alone. There's another life. It's the bread of heaven. Change your heart and receive him. Fast, fast, fast. Deny your food for a period of time and take that as a time to say, God, let me defeat my flesh. Why don't we stand to our feet? Guys, I want you to bow your heads, and while you do that, I want to apologize. I've gotten into that old pastor trick where I say I'm coming to an end and I go way too long. But today, if you're in this place and you're saying, man, I don't know, man, I think I've been skipping fasting. This isn't going to be a confession time, but maybe in your heart you're saying, man, some of you don't remember the last time you did a fast for a whole day from 6 to 6, you know? Some of you guys don't even know the last time you fasted for, you know, a meal intentionally. Maybe you had that time you skipped breakfast and you're busy at work, so you said, God, does that count as a fast? You may have done that. But you don't remember the last time you secretly denied yourself. I want to pray over you for a second, that there would be something that shifts inside of you. Starting today, that fasting wouldn't be some extracurricular, it would become a practice that you have in your life. That you become someone who starts taking the battle to your flesh and stop waiting for the flesh to bring the battle to you. That you would be someone who's concerned about humbling yourself before God. That you would be someone who's concerned about God. Is my heart turned towards you? You've given me a practice. May I use it today? What I want to do is I want to pray over you that fasting would be in your convictions from the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to talk about this later, but let me explain convictions. Convictions is not condemnation. Conviction is when the Spirit of the Lord says, come this way, follow me. That's what conviction is. It's leadership from the Holy Spirit. I want to pray that his leadership is upon you right now for fasting. So if you want that prayer, just put your hand up. I'm not even looking. Father, I pray over every hand in this house. Father, let fasting become part of their practice. Father, I pray that denying their flesh, taking the battle to their flesh and not waiting anymore would be part of their strategy to turn towards you. It would be how they defeat all the other desires in their hearts. That, Father, you would start fighting their appetites. Father, I pray right now, Jesus, that humility would be in their conviction. That, Father, you start calling them and saying, lay your pride down. Oh, lay your pride down. that, Father, fasting would become what they use as a tool to defeat their pride. Father, I pray right now, Jesus, in their convictions, Father, that God, they would desire that their heart would be full of your word. Oh, Jesus, it would be full of power, that their hearts, God, would change. And they'd say, fasting is my way to turn my heart towards the Lord. That God, fasting, God, let me pray something even more. And weeping and mourning would become a characteristic of us again. Oh, Father, that we would be crying out to you in the midnight hours. Oh, that we would be fine, that the desires of our flesh are crucified on a cross, and that we would be sitting in intercession with you, Holy God. Oh, Father, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, lead us into fasting. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Keep your eyes closed for a second longer. If you're in this house and you've never given your life to the Lord, I want to give you an opportunity today to give your life to the Lord. But maybe at one point you gave your life to the Lord and you walked away. Today, my friend, I want to invite you home. It says this in scriptures, that when they turn and come back, there's joy in heaven, not condemnation in heaven. So I want to give you an opportunity. I'm not going to have you come on the stage. I'm not going to parade you. I want you to make this confession, not to me, not to the church, but to the Father. So if you're in this house, and you want to give your life to the Lord, I want you to put your hand up real high right now. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Keep those hands up. That's a lot of hands. Come on, come on. Listen, Liv, you got your hand up. I want you just to listen. Keep your eyes closed. Listen to me. This moment can transform you for the rest of your life. We're going to say a little prayer today, but this prayer isn't the secret. The secret is I'm going to mean this prayer with all my heart. And what we're going to say this really simple prayer. The whole church is going to repeat this prayer. The prayer goes like this. Father, I believe that you died on the cross and rose again. I believe, and I'm going to follow you. That's my vow to you. God, come into my life. Wash me and make me new. And those could be some empty words, or those could be the words that transform your life forever. The deciding factor is you. And I'm saying that to you because I want to beg you today. Don't just say a bunch of words. Mean them with all that you have. Church, can we all repeat this prayer with my friends, the six of them that rose their hand today? Will you pray this prayer with me? Will you all repeat after me? Dear Father, I need you in my life right now. I believe you died on that cross and you rose again. And Father, you said, if I confess your name, you will save me. So Jesus, Master, Savior, change me, make me new, forgive me of my sins, wash me. Today, I am yours. Tomorrow, I am yours. Here I am. Use me. Thank you, Jesus. You hear that? You can't hear it, but up in heaven. Yeah, yeah. Up in heaven. There's a joyful noise being sounded out right now for everyone who turned and gave their life to the Lord. And it sounds, church, show them what it really sounds like up in heaven right now. Welcome home, baby.